name is Christian Stoffler. I'm a mathematician and working at Basel-Bach-Lichtlabor. But don't be afraid, I'm out of the university since almost 35 years, so I almost landed in practice. For reference, these topics are written there, sources in periphery of intuition. I want to reference to the tutorial of Jan Minold on Monday, which was very interesting, dealing with the daylight glare probability. And as David already has said, last year at the Radiance workshop, David had a presentation that's still on the internet, also the video, dealing with a very similar topic where you can find more explanations. Today I will try to be quite short because coffee break is approaching. Maybe David will say just one slide. the motivation to deal with this topic was that I had the impression that it's important to take into account that if you can't see the difference between two different glare sources, they should not have different values associated with glare, not have different daylight glare probability, not have different UGR values, but at the moment they have. And so the problem is that the physiology of the eye, you have acuity that decreases in the periphery of the field of vision, and that's not taken into account in standard problems. Concerning, if you start with the most simple method to solve this, in UGR, for example, it's about artificial lighting, but the light sources are basically on the ceiling. So they, in the CIE, had a technical committee and it issued a document which stated you should just replace, basically, if you are looking what it means, what they written here, that you have the perceived ear, the perceived is the area that is perceived is 0.005 square meter and not smaller. That means that you would replace the light, the glare source by a sphere with a diameter of 80 millimeters, which is the thing that they suggested, and they already did tests, I think, and it was a quite good method for this special situation where they tested. To me, it seems a little bit strange to just replace the glare source by 80 millimeters diameter sphere, and it is not realized up to now in software. If you use lighting design software, you can put in glare sources that are smaller, and you will get really huge values of UGR that have nothing to do with reality. Because in UGR, they have specified that normally you should not apply the formula. If you have really small light sources, and small is specified here in steradiant, or we could also say it's a cone with 2 times 0.6 degrees, it's approximately 2 times the sun. So the solid angle is 4 times the sun, approximately. That's a small light source where you should not use standard formulas. And they also dealt with lights of luminance with a non-uniform source luminance. And there I mentioned this because it's interesting, because they took into account the angular resolution of the eye as a basic for argumentation. And they use, for example, this, it's basically, it might be just LEDs on rectal arrangement. And it's known that you have a larger glare if you have such sharp luminance peaks inside of a luminaire than if you have a homogeneous luminance, distribution constant luminance. And therefore, there's a method that's approved by the CIE. This is really a technical report of the CIE. And it's already mentioned in standards that you should use also this methodology if you have non-uniform lights as source luminance. It's the CIE 232, quite new. And this is just the idea to have a correction term that is added to the UGR. And this correction term is determined by smearing out, by blurring the light distribution with the acuity of the eye or with the angular resolution. Then you get smeared out distribution, and then you just take all the area that is above 500 candela per square meter and put it in one light source and make the correction term out of this. So this is the idea that is in artificial lighting. And the basic behind this, I have told you before, is the angular resolution, which is decreasing at the border of the field, visual field quite rapidly. And we wanted to have something which is more, the reason why I had this experiment that way is that we had a first experiment some years ago where we just used this monitor and made two squares where we have seen a large square and a small square. And the small square is much brighter than the large sphere so that you have the same illuminance at the user's eye. And then if you're not looking directly into it, if you look directly, you can immediately see which is the light, the bright one, and which is the low luminance one. But if you don't look directly into it, we were not able to recognize which is the large one, which is the small one. And we even had sometimes the impression that the larger and lower luminance square is the brighter one. So I thought it's, of course, this influences the discomfort comfort. If you just say, ask people what they feel about there, then it's important what you are able to recognize. And this, the study that we have performed here, in DGP, you have also this contrast term that's quite, has a little bit similarity to UTR. And you also have basically the problem if you have two small light sources that it's overestimated. I guess Jan would say this is a thing that normally if you have measurements, it's already relaxed because you have not such high resolution in the pictures. You have to take correct measurement device, correct settings. And of course, I guess correct also implemented the blurring effect of the lens so that you can blur the light source. If it's too small, it gets a blur around it. And this is also making it more greater then. But if you want to study how large can the light source really be until you are not able to recognize the difference, we had this experiment where we had either a square, a disk that gets smaller or larger and always contains luminance at the eye level. And the users have to tell if the light disk gets smaller, gets larger, or stays the same. This is the first experiment. And they look at it from different positions in the field of view by simply looking, for example, at these points. We have five horizontal points and three vertical points, 30 degree, 45, 60, and 75 and 90 degrees to the right, and also in the vertical direction, 30, 45, and 55 degrees down. And the experiment two, the idea why we did this was because in our very first experiment, we had the impression that maybe that you, if you have such a contrast between two squares, looking after just one, you see one, and then it's dark and you see the other, that might be critical concerning seeing the difference. Therefore, we had a continuous change of the size. And we expected that then the contrast between large and small is smoothed out and it's harder for you to see the difference. And that's it.
Were you changing the luminosity of the discs as you change the size, or were they the candela's meter square staying the same?
Yeah, the bright source is always the maximum of the smallest of the monitor, so that you have the possibility to have quite high luminance in this range that is in this experiment for these different values that we have presented.
They would not only get larger, but there would actually be more light because of the area times.
No, we reduced luminance.
Oh, so you
Exactly. Okay. So the bright ones that you can see in this picture, the bright ones are really dark compared to the large one are really dark compared to the small source. Because small sources is maximum luminance. And the second design was that we presented at the same time. So that you can, and really, but here we also did not present the same size, but also different, only different sizes. And I think David already has shown first results last year, and we calibrated it to the user and to the viewing direction, so that we don't have to do so many experiments where most of them are just trash because they see immediately what's going on. We calibrated it because it's quite a great range between the users, what they are able to see. And we calibrated for each direction and for each user in the first step the sizes that we have used. And here I've just put in two examples. It's a row of four different sizes that we have presented. And you can see that it's over here. You can really see the difference between 0.64 degrees and 1.3 degrees. This user has seen for the horizontal 60 degrees on the side, has been able to see it, and for the 45, for example, you can also see that the 0.77 is not recognized clearly, but the 2.49, it's 100% even. And this was quite astonishing that this worked out quite well. We had for each viewing direction 96 trials per person, so it's quite a lot to do for them. They were quite tired afterwards. And the result was this one, where we really saw that the threshold angle, where you can clearly see the difference of the sizes, increases with the angle up to the viewing direction, which is quite obvious, of course. And this is true for the horizontal viewing directions and for the vertical directions too, where we have quite a lot single spots out of it. But it's you can clearly see that they have a certain and an experiment too. We presented it simultaneously because what astonished us a little bit is that we thought the people did not really have the feeling that they can recognize it, but they had a quite good statistics on it, and therefore we thought maybe it's something in the peripheral view of vision that you see the movement. That it gets smaller and larger, and that you have the impression that you are able to decide if it gets smaller or larger, but you don't really see the difference of the size, but you can just guess maybe it's just a dynamic effect and not a static effect. And we wanted to have a static effect. And therefore we used two disks at the same time, and we asked them only. You have only two possibilities to say. It's the position, you have to specify the position of the large and dark disk, for example. And here we had only two possible. First, you might have seen that it's three possible answers with the same also in it. And here we only have without same specified. And also it's quite clear which difference can be seen. And this is the study that has been not finished last year. And it's very astonishing, but it's also that the people were not able to, my first idea was just to ask them. And maybe they can tell you what they can see, the difference, but we wanted then to have a study made on this. And the people got really good results, perfect results sometimes. But afterwards they said they thought they are only guessing. So it's quite strange that they personally, if you are asking them, and what we are doing in glare evaluation is most of the time we just ask them, do you feel, which is the discomfort that you feel, for example, in the scale. So it's only subjective measure, but if you have something that can be, where you can really measure something, then the people can tell much more than they would just tell if you ask them. Quite interesting, you see that the people are even if the fraction of correct answers is close to zero, so many people say that that has been a very hard task, which was a little bit strange to me. I also made the experiment, and I was an extreme candidate for this. I thought I'm just guessing. but the results then were, yeah, not so bad. And the result is quite similar. And it's interesting that we thought that maybe by having not a dynamic movement, getting the discs larger and smaller, and the candidates have to tell, does it get larger or smaller? But if you have on the same screen both of them, then the effect is gone with the movement. In the peripheral view, we are as animals, we don't want to have the tiger to eat us, and therefore we are sensitive on it, we thought, but we get that even smaller angles here. So we get even more ability to see something that the people don't know if you ask them. The result is just on one graphics. And okay, if you have a threshold angle defined where you want to average over light sources. So if the light sources are going to be too small, it makes no sense to use the luminance itself, but you have to average over solid angle. That's the idea behind it. So you don't use the absolute luminance of the light source. Similar as if you have stars. In the night, if you have a star, the stars are so small that the luminance of the stars plays no role at all how bright we can see them. It's only the luminance at the eye level that makes it, if you see, think a star is very bright or it's very dim. So luminance is no measure for this, for such situations. And therefore, one possibility would be to average over a threshold angle, over a cone, for example. And then is the question which angles we can choose. And we thought this experiment will help us to choose the correct angle. And you see that if you just specify as in the limit for UTR, it's this 2 times half a degree. It's constant all over, which doesn't make much sense in my opinion. And then there is this acuity formula, which is even lower than the 2 times half a degree. And there is this 8 centimeter sphere where the angle depends on the height of the ceiling, of course, that I draw here. But you can see it here, you really have something that increases with angle. And in our experiments, we clearly have in both experiments, the first experiment where we have a dynamical increasement or decreasement of the size. These are the continuously drawn pictures for vertical and for horizontal directions. It's clearly increasing with distance to viewing angle. And basically there are overall behind these curves are approximately 30,000 experiments behind it, not persons, sorry to say. And the new one is quite below it, of course, as I told you before. And so what to do with it? The idea is just one very good approach, I think, would be that we could just take an HDR picture that is either calculated by radiance or measured by luminance camera and use a similar approach as in the CIA 232 by blurring it with Gaussian filters or something. They should have been elliptical in this case, maybe. And then afterwards, you blur it with a kind of threshold angle according to these experiments or a factor of it. And afterwards, we make the Ewald-Leer process. This would be one possibility. Another very simple possibility is just to replace in the formula what I have done here. The standard formula uses L squared times solid angle. This means you have basically the illuminance vertical to the flare source times luminance. So you don't only have illuminance, but additionally a term that is with the luminance. And therefore, if you have higher luminance values and they produce the same illuminance that the user's eyes, if you have an example that you reduce the size of the light source by a factor of 100, then the area goes to the factor of 10,000. And the UGR value gets 32 steps larger. And if you know that UGR 19 is the value that you have to, where you have to be in office lighting, then you know it's really a huge difference. and maybe you can even see the difference. So here you see the problem, and the idea is that in this situation where the eye is not able to see it anymore, the luminous plays no role, or even it plays no role for you cannot see the difference. Then you could use the threshold solid angle that is calculated from our, for example, as the first guess from our experiments. And this is the approximation for calculated from the experiments. And my idea also was that maybe, and it's, I have used here the experiment 2 with a smaller AU, because it's quite the, it's a quite nice curve that you can get from this. And the idea is that maybe if you really use this for glare evaluation, that's even too strict. So you could even use greater solid angles, because if the people don't even know that they have done the correct answer, maybe they are not able to see the difference in glare either. And so the idea was now for future development to use this basic formula and to find a factor where then the subjective the glare ratings of the persons match best with the formula that is used here, so that you determine with real world experiments the factor so that TGP gets the best correlation with user answers. That's about what we're trying to do at the moment, but we're starting now. And for example, that we can see if we scale this with a factor of almost 2, we get to this angle here that is proposed by the UGR as the smallest angle. So there is some air in between. And if you use, for example, no, it's with the experiment 2, sorry. The maximum is comparable with the experimental design 1, this is typing error, where we had great larger errors, larger angles seen, and if it scale it with over than 2, then we are in the region where UGR says that you should not be below this value. So we have a little bit of factor that we could use to make this formula even better, and that's the idea that has to be studied in future. Just as a reference, this has to be studied in more detail with experiments that are closer to daylight situations, because as you have seen, we have only used a monitor, which is a monitor that has 5,000 candela per square meter, but it's not the sun. And also the environment was quite not so bright. You are not in scotopic vision or in mesopic, but closer to really photopic vision. But you are not in the daylight office, of course. And so you should use, for this determining of the factor, you should use luminance values that are close to our standard daylight situations that we have, and try to find how much it's really possible to average luminance. That's the basic idea of it. This research project is funded by the EFFG in Austria. It's a project player. And David has been the project leader. And so, thank you for listening, and still questions.